to say it's a little bit of a surprise to be in the pulpit tonight. I expected to be in the pulpit this afternoon, preaching over at the Green Tree Retirement Home, but God executed his decrees in the works of creation and providence, and God's providence, I have prepared this sermon, and I'm going to share it with you tonight. So it's a little early, I have to say, for Thanksgiving, but realizing that we wouldn't be at the home before Thanksgiving happened, and thinking that this could be a lift to some of those people, that's why I chose to preach on this subject. And if it's not too early for you, it's only 2 weeks till Thanksgiving, so hang in there and use the principles that we talk about here to prepare yourselves for that. But we are thankful to be able to do this, and trust that God will use it by his Spirit. I'd like you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. That's the passage we'd like to look at tonight. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll just be looking at the verses 4 through 7, which are very, very familiar verses. But there is Thanksgiving right in the middle of it, and so that's our focus tonight. So give attention now to God's word as we read from Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We'll end the reading and ask that God would bless his word and bring it to our hearts. I mentioned over there that Thanksgiving is my favorite time of year, or at least one of my favorite times. It seems like the mood of people changes as we begin to come into the what we call the holiday season. And it could be that the holiday expectations and so on are one of the things that bring joy at this time and lift people's hearts. Maybe it's the color of the leaves outside. Maybe it's the crisp fall air. But I think it's the fact that people at this time of year, at least at Thanksgiving particularly, begin to think and bring God into their thoughts, into their whole pattern of thinking. Because Thanksgiving is a time to remember the good things that God has done. Obviously, it was originated at the time when they brought in the harvest and had some food for the winter. And so that was a joyous time for them. But the fact that it brings God back into our thinking, I think, is a key, certainly for the Christian community, but beyond that for everyone, that makes this a good time of year. I think that the Bible does say that a cheerful heart is good medicine. And if I'm thankful, if I have a spirit of thanksgiving, that raises my spirit and I become more cheerful. And I think that's good therapy. Thanksgiving therapy is really what happens at Thanksgiving time. And I think people's attitude changes. And I think there's reason for that. And we'll talk about that further. If we can focus on the things that are blessings to us, there are some people that are, I think, given to look at the negative and kind of focus on the problems and that kind of thing. And often those people not only are depressed themselves, but will depress you if you talk with them very long, because their focus is on the problem. And maybe they get ulcers. That's a good way to get ulcers, if you just focus on the problems. But those who concentrate, I think, on God's mercy, God's kindness, the working, the hand of God in your life day by day, I think you will find that from that comes joy, from that comes peace and contentment and a real blessing in your life. Now, this passage we just read is really a passage on a formula for not worrying. It's probably used in that way more than for Thanksgiving. But I do notice that right in the middle of it, we do have this notice about Thanksgiving, that if we're going to bring our petitions to God, we are not just to do that, but we are to do that with thanksgiving, which I think turns, I really feel that's the key to this passage, that turns our mind to God and away from the problem, and therefore gives us a sense of peace, which it speaks there, the peace that passes all understanding is what results if you follow the formula. So the formula is here, and we can really benefit from that. So what is it that gives thanksgiving that power or that strength? I took as a title for this message, The Beauty of Thanksgiving. And what is it that gives thanksgiving the beauty? Now, I said that this is a better time of year, a happier time of year. Well, that's the beauty of thanksgiving. But what is it that gives that that place? Well, first thing, and I've already mentioned it, is that it brings God into the heart or into the focus, the central focus of your thinking. We see it in this passage immediately, rejoice in the Lord. And I'll say it again. He says, rejoice. The Lord is at hand. Some people say, there's a song that we heard sometime back that said, don't worry, be happy. Or was it be happy, don't worry? I think it was the other way around. Don't worry, be happy. Nothing about God in there. What does this say? It says rejoice and be happy, but it says rejoice in the Lord. That's where the rejoicing focuses. And so you see how God is brought right smack into the center of the thinking in that particular idea. God is the giver of the good gifts that we enjoy. And if we are truly thankful, then He is brought immediately into the focus. I think sometimes we neglect that or forget that because we begin to think, you know, get wrapped up in our routines and we think, I've accomplished this and I've got this to do yet, but I'll get it done and all of that. And it's easy to kind of just let God slide out of the center. Forget that everything we do is to be focused on God. Whatever we do, do it to the glory of God. We've learned that in the Catechism as well. So if God is forgotten, then we'll realize sooner or later that we don't have the capacity to really get it all done. And that will depress us. But when God brings thanksgiving, when thanksgiving comes in there, it brings God back into the picture and allows us to say, somebody outside of myself is blessing me here. Some power is there. And obviously that power is God himself. If we say, I'm thankful to be an American. I'm thankful to live in this country. Well, who am I thankful to? When you say, I am thankful, it immediately says you're thankful to something or somebody. And it brings God immediately into the picture. So acknowledging him, I think, is really a very important key to this, the result that we want from this passage. Now, let me give you a very contemporary illustration of that. We're coming up to Thanksgiving Day, but the politically correct way of speaking of this day is becoming, do you know what it is? Turkey Day. We are going to celebrate Turkey Day. Now, what does that do to the whole concept? It immediately takes God out of the picture, and we're going to celebrate what I want and what satisfies me and this kind of thing. So if you say, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, God is there. If you say, we're going to do Turkey Day, then God is gone. And that's the beauty of Thanksgiving. It keeps him there and focuses him at that place. It reminds us that every breath we breathe comes from him. It reminds us that the power to do anything, to get wealth, to get a job, to be able to work and earn money and so on. All of that is God's special gift to us. It makes us conscious, I think, of what he says in the passage when he says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. He's here, always in our involvement, always in our activities. He's there, and we need to keep that there as a very significant part of our thinking. Thankfulness really keeps us mindful of God, and that's the point. Now, if we live apart from God, and there are many people that you know and I know that are trying to do that, they're trying to live with God on the side. Maybe they'll celebrate Turkey Day, but God is not part of it. And if they try to live apart from God, they're risking the possibility of living without God forever. And that's a very serious kind of thing. If we think we can do without God here, we may end up living without God for eternity. And that's hell. That is the worst possible catastrophe that could come to any of us. But thanksgiving is the opposite of that. Thanksgiving is keeping him in, keeping him focused. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, and you will be blessed. I think the heart of the Christian's thanksgiving is, and where it ought to be, is the fact that he has loved us so much in sending his Son, giving us the greatest gift that we could possibly enjoy, rejoicing in Christ's coming, rejoicing in Christ's death, realizing how that death has atoned for my sin and how he gives me his righteousness. All of these things just put God into the focus of my life and keep him there. So that's the beauty of thanksgiving. If your heart is truly thankful for what God has done with you, it keeps him at the center of your focus. Now, the second thing that I see here is that it keeps us appreciative and also generates a generous spirit within us. When I was young, my mother would always say, if somebody would do something for me, now, what do you say? You say, thank you, right? So, okay, I'll say it, Mother. Thank you. It may have been kind of rote part of the time, not real sincere to say those words. But my mother was teaching me to appreciate what the other person had done. Think about what this person has done for you and express your thankfulness for that. And I think it builds that in us as we think about God, and if we begin to focus on the things which he's done, rather than in, say, what I've accomplished or what I still have to do, it simply builds in us an appreciation for the ministry of God, which has come to us in so many ways. And out of that, I think, comes this generous spirit. As I realize God's love for me, I can begin to show love to those around me. Verse 5 at least has that suggestion in it when it says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. One of the translations says, your gentleness. Another one, another way that you can translate that Greek word would be your generous spirit or your big-heartedness. That's a very broad understanding of that term. But I think that graciousness that comes from us to others comes from our real appreciation of what God has done for us. And that's a biblical concept, isn't it? We love because he first loved us. Also, we have a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So it's appreciation of that love from God that builds in us this sense of kindness and love toward other people who are around us. You sort of say, well, where does that quality in a person come from? It comes from appreciation of the work of God. And I think the more that is part of your life, the thankful acknowledgement of all that God does for you, seeing Him as the giver of every good gift that comes, all of that makes a spirit of, I think, genuine love and concern for other people. And maybe this is why all the fund drives come at this time of year. And they do. People are beginning to come into the Thanksgiving and Christmas season, and in the mail every day you get 4 or 5 different requests for money from different agencies. Why this time of year? Because it emphasizes thankfulness and realizing how much God has done for us. Therefore, I'm willing to help others who are in need, and so on. And let me say again, the greatest gift, the greatest demonstration of generosity to us has certainly been the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And if you, by His grace, have come to understand that, you know that this is the greatest gift. This is the most valuable gift ever. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for those who are His friends. And Jesus did that. In fact, laid down when we were still His enemies. And that is such a demonstration of love. And if I appreciate that, going back to the idea of appreciation, if I can just appreciate the fact that God has called me to Himself and done all of this for me and given me the hope, then I can be kind and more kind to others. Beyond that, the Bible says that He who spared not His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, also with Him will freely give you all things. And again, you say, well, I need this and I need that and I need that. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All of that will be taken care of. Clearly tells us that in the Scripture. So God really does care for us continually in the ways we live. And here again, let me just say, if you come to the full appreciation of that, not just the gift of Christ, although that's the biggest one, all the other things that come to you from His hand, it'll transform your life. It basically transforms your life. And it makes you a person that is appreciative of all that God has done. Well, then the third thing is that it produces a wonderful peace that's mentioned in this passage, the peace that passes all understanding, contentment in your soul. Boy, that's something that's missing in our day. Contentment in your soul. And that's such a treasure that God gives. So the passage really is speaking about worry. It says you're not to do that. You are not to worry. Everybody says, well, but I'm just a worrier. Listen again to what God says. You are not to do that. You are not to worry. Be anxious, or do not be anxious about anything. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Take your problems to the Lord. That alleviates the worry. But do it with thanksgiving. And what does that do? That turns from focusing on the problem, which you're taking to God, the need, the desire, the concern, it turns from that concern to the blessings that God has already given you. And there's nobody, I don't care how bad their situation is, that does not have blessings to turn to. Nobody. There's always things that God has done in the situation which are good and for which we can give thanks. I think God won't let us just concentrate on the problems. That brings ulcers if you concentrate on the problem. Because right in here, He says, whenever you bring your request to God, do it with thanksgiving. And I think that's the key to this passage and really does change a person's heart. Now, what does that force us to do when God says, do it with thanksgiving? It forces me to think, now, what is good in this situation? Is there anything good that I can find in this situation? It forces me to look on the brighter side of the situation, not the negative side. And I think that's wholesome and profitable. Forces us to count our blessings. And I said over at the home, and I say it again here, the spirit of complaining or moaning about life cannot exist alongside the spirit of thanksgiving. One of them has to go. They cannot abide in the same person. So if you have a spirit of complaining, it's probably that thanksgiving's gone. But if you can move to a spirit of thanksgiving, the moaning or the defeatism, the depression, I think will change. And that's one of the blessings. Maybe I could just comment in that regard. There's a problem with listening to talk radio. Just came to my mind as I thought about this whole thing of where is your focus? And I hear so much focus on the problems when I listen to talk radio, rather than some focus on the thanksgiving. Just don't hear very much about we're really grateful for this, we're really thankful for this, and so on. And I think that if you listen too much, you become depressed. The news will depress you if you just listen to the news, but talk radio emphasizes that a little bit more. And therefore, I think we need to take the advice that Paul gives us here. Bring your petitions to God, but do it with thanksgiving, because it changes the mood and changes the spirit. I guess I should say the problems don't disappear, but I think we do have a different perspective on the problem. We're now looking at it not just from a human perspective, but we're looking at it from a divine perspective, with God in the picture and really at the center of the picture if we're doing it right. So this is very significant. And what happens now is what's mentioned at the end of the passage here, and that is that the peace of God comes. This peace that you can't fully explain, but it comes. And some people can go through, even though the problems are huge, and yet there's a contentment there that God knows what he's doing, and he's in charge. And we're learning that. God's decrees are really saying that. It's fulfilling his purpose according to his will. And he foreordains whatever comes to pass. So that gives us a whole sense of confidence as we look at these situations in life. And I think we need to notice also that he does it through Jesus. He does it in Christ himself. Christ has got to be the focus of all of this as we try to apply this to our particular life situation. I think if you have Christ, you really have the key to a good life, a life of contentment and joy, because he's the one who can bring it. Everything else is fragile. Everything else is temporary. Everything else will let you down. But we're thinking, in fact, we got it in Sabbath school this morning, we have a God who will not let us go. He holds us in his hand, and he will not let us go. And he is going to take us on into eternity, and we can have that joy with him for all, for eternity, however long that is going to be. It's something you can't really describe. So Paul, as he thinks about this, says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He recognized what God had done for him, an indescribable gift, and it gave him great joy. So the beauty of thanksgiving is that it put God in the center of your thinking and focuses on him rather than on something else. It helps you to appreciate, learn appreciation, and to become more generous in spirit in your own heart and life. And it brings that wonderful peace of God that passes understanding, which will guard your heart and mind when the problems come. So thanksgiving is a beautiful thing. It really is a beautiful thing. Use it. Focus on it. Keep it in every prayer. Recognize it as a part of your life, and you'll find the blessing is there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do acknowledge before you that we are dependent upon you for everything. But you have shown your love in such concrete and such beautiful and perfect ways that we rest in you and we have that joy of knowing you. And we do see Jesus as our indescribable gift to us. Help us, Lord, as we face the activities of each day, which bring to us many varied and different kinds of experiences. Help us to focus with thanksgiving, not to be anxious, but to bring our needs to God, but to do it always with thanksgiving. Help us during this season, as we move into the Thanksgiving time, help us, Lord, to be one who can help others to see this same joy and same focus on God. So hear our prayer. We pray it now in the name of Christ. Amen.